Hey, let me bug you for just a second. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday, and Amazon Prime Day is coming up June 21st and 22nd with Amazon's best prices of the year. Whenever you shop through Amazon for Father's Day or for Amazon Prime Day or any time, please shop through our Amazon store. That's shop.bradandbrit.com. That's shop.bradandbrit.com. Doesn't change the price of anything, and it helps us out. And we thank you for helping us out.
Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast, our final one for this week. Thank you for coming along with us here. We play this game. You do it. I do it. And we try to anticipate the stupid whataboutisms,
yeah,
or what they're going to say about everything. Right. Okay. So this is why, and I think this is a solid one. This is a
okay.
solid one.
You like to bet on this one?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to come up. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to come up. Because now that Juneteenth is an official national holiday,
yeah.
How is it not possible that based on the fact that for years, I think it's still true in three southern states, that in order to, quote, balance off the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Robert E. Lee's birthday is celebrated.
Right.
Equally, it's a state holiday, I think, in three or four southern states. So how is it not possible that in today's world, with today's Republican Party, fully and openly populated by racists, haters, the most vile bigots,
yeah,
that you can imagine, just uneducated oafs, that with the Juneteenth holiday now in place, although we have the list of the 14 who said, no, not good enough, but how is it that not one of those 14 so far has said, well, shouldn't we also make August 20th a holiday? Because that was the day that in 1619, the first slaves arrived in Jamestown. For balance. For balance. What do you think?
Yeah, fair and balanced.
That's fair and balanced. What do you think?
Shoot off fireworks in the Charleston Harbor.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Yes. In other words, here's the, if you want to go down the snark highway here, it's okay. If you think 1619, the 1619 project, okay, your critical race theory is so important. Oh, let's celebrate it, okay? It was a great. No. It was the beginning of the anti-union movement, cheap labor. It's something. I'm telling you, somebody's going to say something like that.
If you've, by the way,
they're not going to be able to hold back.
I am happy to say that it was already in our city. It was already a holiday for city employees and the place where we live, and it was in several places as well. So I'm glad that that was already done. If you don't know the history of Juneteenth, after the Emancipation Proclamation, let's just say the news was kind of slow rolled out to a bunch of black folks, and it took a couple of years for them to actually find out that they were free. And I believe it was like in Texas somewhere, like 2 years after Lincoln had issued the Emancipation Proclamation, these people in June were told, oh, by the way, you guys are free. There's no more slavery. Well, so that's the history of Juneteenth in a just a nutshell.
Well, Britt, to be fair, Texas is a very large state.
And if you've seen the Tom Hanks film News of the World, it was difficult to have news travel out to different places back in those days.
Right. And as you know, even today, even this hour, even this minute, now or whenever in the future you're hearing us speak of this or watching us talk about it, Texas has a crisis with their electricity grid.
Oh God.
Now,
yes.
Instead of it freezing up, now they're not going to have enough electricity for the summer ahead, if not right now with temperatures way up high. And of course, whatever they had in place in the last few years, which is getting older, it's deteriorating. All the infrastructure in this country is fading, or so I've heard. There are a lot more people who have moved to Texas in the last few years.
That's
They've gained
correct.
A couple million people. So I'm just guessing that just about all of them are plugging in and trying to access electricity from the same system that is there. And the governor Greg Abbott, who, boy, that guy is, he is aces. He's the best, isn't he?
He's the best.
He's good. Right. And in an attempt to play the, yeah, but what about this, or distract from that, look over here, instead of addressing this right now, he's come out with this cockamamie plan, I'm sure you've heard this, that he wants private citizens to finish the wall, to pay
yes.
for the wall.
I that did see
not
that.
Not going to be paid for by the federal government. In other words, or as I like to say it, I would have headlined it this way if I was giving you a choice of stories here. In Texas, the word paywall doesn't mean what it does everywhere else. What do you mean? Different meaning.
There's a
paywall.
We are, for those of you that are watching, and as you're listening, you can't see this, we're displaying a headline from KXAN television. Governor Greg Abbott downplays electric grid concerns as Texans are told to conserve. That's his message. Now, which American president was basically made to look like a boob because he told people to conserve? And it was made fun of and pilloried and vilified and whipped endlessly for being told to conserve back in the 70s. I think you remember this, right? Put a sweater on and turn your thermostat down. And they told Jimmy Carter, shut up, you emasculated turd. I'm an American. Well,
but those are different circumstances. And mm-hmm. it was really unfair to go after Carter then because this wasn't a case of if we didn't conserve or turn our thermostats down a couple degrees, you know, the electricity grid was going to melt down. It was a different, it was about conservation.
That's
for
right.
conservation's sake, for saving, you know, the environment. This is different. This is a state that clearly is completely out of control in terms
right.
of its environment, natural resources, and the ability to generate enough power for the population, which probably grows by a couple thousand people every day, right? Isn't that how you? Sure.
Well, a lot of those
65. Yeah, look, yeah. It's a couple thousand people move to Texas every day. So
a lot of those folks are coming from California, and California, to be fair, has had its history of brownouts. But I'm not hearing any problems with California right now. I'm hearing a lot of problems with Texas. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh,
right
don't
now,
worry,
right?
Britt. The fires haven't started burning yet in California. Don't worry. Do not use that as the measuring stick for.
I just love that the Joe Rogan contingent of people who are like, fuck California, it sucks, blah, blah, blah. I'm moving to Texas. Well, guess what, motherfuckers? You ain't got no power. So suck it. Maybe you should ask you to stay in California and paid a couple extra bucks in taxes. Assholes. That's just my take on it. That's my hot take. That's how I feel. Although Joe Rogan this week, you may have seen this, has come out in favor of saying, you know, I think we kind of need this January 6th commission. He was talking to a couple of people, including that Crystal Ball chick, and one other guy goes, oh, it was some Republican, you know, counter offer. No, it's just going to dominate the news cycle. We don't need a January 6th commission. It'll just suck. And this is what they compare it to now. This is what the Republicans, you've heard this. It'll just be like Benghazi, just a big time waster. Motherfucker, you guys did that. That was yours. You're now admitting that you dragged us through 6 years of bullshit over Benghazi, and now that's your example of why you don't want a January 6th commission?
Well, the fact is, Benghazi was an absolute, complete, total waste of time. But that has nothing to do with the fact that this would not be a waste of time and that this is an important subject that should be investigated. And I would think right now, the people who should want an investigation more than anyone are the Tucker Carlson conspiracy theorist, false flag. Don't they want to know? Don't they want to know what happened?
I would think, yeah.
If it wasn't an Italian satellite using a Jewish space laser, which, by the way, it makes sense because, remember, in New York City, in the early part of the 20th century, there was a lot of Italians and a lot of Jews who lived close to each other. And here it is 100 years later, and they get together, and they got the technology rocking there to put up a satellite with a space laser to be able to target voting machines all over the United States and change election results. I want an investigation into that. And I would think that the people who support that idea and that Donald Trump was robbed because of this conspiracy, you can't just claim it was a conspiracy and that Trump was robbed and not want to find out how and why Trump was robbed. Isn't there a little bit of a contradiction there when they do that, Brett?
Yeah, what are you afraid of? You're so certain that it was either Antifa, the FBI, like you say, Italian spy satellites, Hugo Chavez. I don't know. How many what are you afraid of? Why wouldn't you want some sort of, oh, no, it'll be a deep state investigation. It won't get to the truth. But maybe if we had somebody like Alex Jones, maybe if he was investigating that asshole, one of those assholes the other day, that Gosar guy, he was able to enter some sort of bullshit investigation and report about Ashley Babbitt being laid in the weeds and shot by an officer. He was able to insert that into the record without objection. Like, it's in the record. It's in the congressional records from, you know, IHateMyMama.com or whatever the hell, some stupid ass site that investigated it.
If I may, counselor.
Yeah.
If I may add to your case and add to the concept that this kind of complete fantastical bullshit, this total perversion of truth, this inability to face what is going on by these people. Remember, that was picked up, expropriated, twisted, and turned into the Russian language by Vladimir Putin in Geneva on Thursday. Because he actually used the name Ashley Babbitt. Now, he can say the name Ashley Babbitt, but he can't say the name of his political opponent who he is jailing and trying to murder. He can't say that name, but he picked up on the death of Ashley Babbitt on January 6th and compared that to what is going on with Navalny, that they're both equal political protesters who must be dealt with. And if you're going to deal with Ashley Babbitt that way, because you went out and murdered her on purpose, it was a plot, then I have ever, you know, this is the Steve Bannon playbook.
It is
winning all the way. This is causing complete information confusion among people predisposed to want to believe what they can't see, or what they can see, or what they can hear, and they want to disbelieve it because you have bad actors, that's a kind way of portraying Tucker Carlson or Vladimir Putin. And you notice what they've tried to do. They're trying their best to turn this one around, and we're not on the side of the Russians. We're not parroting Russian propaganda, and they're not picking it up and saying it. No, it's the Democrats that are on the side of the Russians. Joe Biden laid down for Putin. He was totally
weak.
He, right.
I love that.
Right. As opposed to the guy that stood there, you know, 3 years ago and said, well, Putin said he didn't interfere in the election. I believe him. That strength and what Joe Biden did yesterday, that was weakness. And they're going to keep pounding this. They're going to keep going at it and going at it and going at it. And, you know, we must resist.
There's you had that article that you shared, that piece you shared from Dana Milbank the other day about other people that are challenging Marjorie Taylor Greene as being gigantic assholes in the Republican Party. And there were a lot of folks coming in from the outside and all that stuff. I think my favorite guy this week has got to be this Thomas Massie guy from Kentucky. In addition, he was one of the guys that voted against Juneteenth. And in saying so, he said it would divide America. Certain Americans would choose either to celebrate their Independence Day on June the 19th or the 4th of July. It would be very divisive for America. That was his argument. And then he voted against giving medals to police for service in the Capitol riot, Representative Thomas Massie did. So he's one of those guys, again, not a guy that you hear a lot about. From time to time, he kind of pops up, but he's really making a name for himself. He is the Brad and Britt asshole of the week.
Right. What was his reasoning for saying that he's not going to vote to give medals to the Capitol Police for the way they acted on January 6th? Because that's a headline. You got to know why. He's got to give a reason why. He can't just say
because it would cost
there
too much.
To be a reason.
CNN reported Massey said he opposed it, depicts what happened in January as an insurrection, and also refers to the Capitol as the temple of our American democracy. There are pending cases or trials right now, indictments against people, and I think if we call it an insurrection, it could have a bearing on their case, Massey told CNN. If they just wanted to give the police recognition, they could have done it without trying to make it partisan. That's Thomas Massey's, that's his thought.
Right, so they should have just called it a tourist visit gone awry. That would be a little bit more neutral in its approach, language-wise. Is that what he wants?
So he doesn't. He wants to make sure that we give these people fair trials, and he's very concerned about that, Brad. And that's why he doesn't want anything to interfere in that.
Well, they're here. They are. They are among us, and we're clearly going to be dealing with this. You know, probably forever. I don't know how this goes in the other direction. I mean, let's just play a game here for a moment, just for a second here. Let's say that something happened to Donald Trump tomorrow, and he passed from the scene. If he disappeared tomorrow, what would change in our politics if he just was gone and was not looming as an actual person? I mean, we fully understand that he has left behind, or would have left behind, this complete dismantling of truth and facts and the game plan of truly dividing the country against itself and us versus them. And it's not as if it wasn't kind of in place before he came along, but of course he turbocharged it. He souped it up, got elected president, and in the tailback position was Mitch McConnell, ready to run right through the line there with all his dirty work. But if Trump was gone tomorrow, would anything be changing in our politics? Because it would take out this fear that enough Republicans have had of actually being not endorsed by Trump, by having their opponents endorsed by Trump in primaries. That would be gone. He would be gone. And that just might be enough on the margins to allow the Republican Party to, and I can't even believe I'm going to use this word, slightly normalize itself away from what it is. That doesn't mean they wouldn't just be the old crazy ass Republican Party that we knew and hated before Trump came along, which is what we're kind of hoping. Gee, I wish we could have that old shitty Republican Party instead of
the new shitty one.
Right.
No, but the Ron DeSantis's and the Greg Abbott's of the world have seen the light. Absolutely. They'll carry it forward. They're not him. They're not as effective as communicators, but they're pretty big assholes. They're fairly big assholes.
Right, but that's the point. You know, after Reagan, there were no more Reagans. He was a singular character from 40 years ago. There was never another guy like him. And there's not going to be another Bill Clinton. There's not going to be another Obama. And there's not going to be another Trump. Now, you could argue, there's going to be something worse than Trump. I get that, because, you know, the big fear is that somebody corrals all the demagogic tendencies and ability to just lie with impunity that Trump has had, and they're a lot smarter. They really did go to law school at Harvard or Stanford, and they really know the ropes, and they know what they're saying while they're saying it, as opposed to Trump, who, as we look back in great fondness over what he said, just so much of it was just verbal vomit. It just meant nothing. It really meant nothing, but it did speak to a certain segment of the country. But no one will be like that again. And you can see it right now in real time as these candidates try to copy that, and it can't be done. And thank God it can't be done. He's a singular one-off character in American history, I think.
But it feels like this movement continues to move on. And like I said, the DeSantis and the Greg Abbotts and the Josh Hawleys and the Ted Cruzes of the world, there's going to be at least some sort of, they won't have the charisma, if you will, of a Donald John Trump Sr., but they still, the message will continue on. It may have a little bit lesser of a messenger, but it'll still be there. They've seen the light with this nativism shit and this all of this stuff, this culture war stuff. They can't give it up. It's like crack to these guys.
Well, because at a certain level, we know it's worked, and it continues to work with a lot of people. There was a Supreme Court ruling today, a 7-2 ruling. 7-2, not even close. And the Supreme Court said, God damn it, fuck you, Republicans. Stop with the trying to overturn Obamacare bullshit. I mean, that would be my takeaway. And this was 7-2. It was so definitive. It was so definitive that, remember, so the three liberals, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Stephen Breyer, were joined by Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, Chief Justice Roberts, and Clarence fucking Thomas.
Wow.
that's your seven. That's your seven. Right. And so you have Alito and who's the other one? Spanky. whoever the ninth guy.
Zeppo or Gummo. I can't remember.
No, Gorsuch. Gorsuch and Alito were the two. So that's a pretty definitive smacking down of these Republican attorneys general and states that they just keep trying. You want to talk about continuing to take a bite at the apple. They keep doing it. And I'm not a big sports fan, but I hear that in baseball, three strikes and you're out. Okay, this is three decisions in a row. And this third one was a 110-mile-an-hour fastball that you couldn't even get the bat off your shoulder to take a swat at. Just get out of the batter's box and go home. Get out.
Take a shower.
Get out of here. Right, right.
Now, so surely this means this will be the last challenge we ever see to this in the court.
Of course. Right, but that's exactly what I meant, because I understand that people do assume that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter in our system that has three branches. Who was it that was asked, what are the three branches of government? And they said the House, the Senate, and the President. Some idiot.
It sounds like a Sarah Palin, but it's not her. It sounds like
one of those.
That's funny though. The President, the Senate. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's cute. 7-2. So we're finally done, and Obamacare will never be challenged again because the Republicans have learned their lesson that they cannot win, even when they put a bunch of conservatives on the court.
Well, but Britt, what you're leaving out, and I don't mean to attack you or insult you, but
sure.
As you know, Donald Trump has a health care plan that he's going to be revealing in 2 weeks. He's going to be rolling it out, and Republicans all across the country will be able to run in 2022 on his great plan, the one that he in just 2 weeks. Can you just hang on? Okay. How many times did he say that?
Many times. And it was like, I'm still waiting for infrastructure week. I'm still waiting for that to happen.
Right. Right. And if there is an infrastructure piece of legislation passed, Trump will be seething about that. He'll say, why isn't it called the Donald Trump Infrastructure Rebuild America law?
Exactly.
Because he'll claim he was the first person to notice that the bridges were falling down, the highways were fucked up, and we didn't have internet access for tens of millions of people. He'll claim that. Because apparently he's seething and is pissed off over everything that's happening right now. I mean, I guess he just lost his mind on Wednesday night. He did an hour with Hannity and just bitched for an hour about Biden and Putin and, you know, this is the usual grievance fest.
My favorite is when he does this.
I watched about 2 minutes of it. That was enough for me.
My favorite of those is when he just goes off on Hannity and Hannity just tries to get him like in line for a commercial break or something and he just can't corral him because he's just too wild.
Britt, That was 60 minutes of commercial-free music with no interruptions.
We don't need
not even a weather forecast. No traffic, no weather, no nothing. Just Trump for 60 minutes. No.
We don't need no stinking commercials. We got Donald Trump the whole time. I love it when he tries to do that. And Hannity tries to put a lasso around that wild stallion, but he never can. It's like the funniest thing.
He doesn't try anymore.
He just kind of lets him go. He's not going to do any better. There's nothing you can add, Sean. Just get the fuck out of the way. That is your job for this 60 minutes, is to get the fuck out of the way, because we don't want to hear from you. We want to hear from the man. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Any ongoing stuff about the trip to Russia? I know it's being portrayed as a disaster in some places. This is the headline for Mediaite. Kayleigh McEnany blasting Biden's scripted talking points, hitting Trump on foreign soil that he never said. So apparently Joe Biden is now responsible for stuff that he never actually said on foreign soil. I mean, it's beyond predictable, right?
Well, just objectively speaking, and if we're anything here, we're objective, right? We don't bring any biases to our comments. Just the fact that, you know, he didn't come out there in a clown suit, okay?
Right.
And start drooling all over himself like Trump would do, or push people out of the way, or, you know, Joe Biden knew how to act like an adult. He knew how to act like a president. He you know, the contrast between him and the town oaf who was there for 4 years on these foreign trips is enough and should be enough for everybody to breathe a sigh of relief. What they're going to say about Biden over on Fox is obviously it's largely predictable. It's not relevant. It's not accurate. It's full of shit. It's it is so filled with deliberate disremembering of what happened the last 4 years that, again, it's just not discussable. You would think that Trump was just this master diplomat representing our country for 4 years. Every time he left this country, we could all just sit back and live our lives and not worry, because daddy had our best interests in heart at heart, no matter where he went, whether it was China or Europe or the Middle. It was Donald Trump. No. We're wondering what kind of stupid thing he was going to do to embarrass us, put us in a bad position, or which dictator on this trip, that trip, was he going to suck up to? Who was he going to make it clear he was beholden to in one way or another? And that was Putin, Putin, Putin. And boy, you could hear the kind of bizarre nostalgia for Trump that Putin had, but not really. Because Putin, if anything, is not stupid. I mean, he knew what an idiot Trump was. He knew how easy it was to play him. And one day, the history books, it will be revealed what he's had on Trump all these years to be able to get him to be standing 5 feet away from him at a podium after a meeting that we've never, ever to this day seen the minutes of. We've never seen the readout. Remember, the interpreter's notes were burned at the stake. They were shredded so that we couldn't see what the two of them said to each other. But one day we will find out. Everything leaks out eventually. I hope we're around to see what was said there. And to contrast that with what Joe Biden did, which he went in there, he said, I want this, this should be this way, this should be that way. And the idea that, well, it was a failure because Vladimir Putin didn't agree to release Navalny. He didn't agree that there would never be any cyber attacks again. He didn't agree. That's a failure, as if anybody on earth was going to get Putin to admit to anything about anything. That wasn't the point.
No.
That was never the point. But in the case of Trump never even brought these things up. Trump never did anything. So now we've got the ambassadors back at each other's.
It was about it was all about personal flattery and backslapping with Trump and Putin. He wanted him to like him so much. He wanted to sit at the cool table in the cafeteria so badly that he would do anything. It didn't matter, right?
Yeah, I just think it was a. I think it looks even better now that Putin went first, Biden went second with the press conferences afterwards, because Putin had to stand there and take it from some of the questioning by some of the American reporters, especially Rachel Scott of ABC, who just got in his face and said, what the hell are you afraid of? You know, how come people keep dying? How come people keep falling out of windows? How come every opponent of yours ends up dead? What's up with that?
It's just bad luck. That's all it is. Right. It's just bad luck.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to listen to that very often. The only other time he gets that kind of treatment is, you know, he does that end of the year press conference. You see it like, you know, December 26th or something.
Right, right.
And he does sit there for 4 hours.
Right. Putin,
and he does take shit. It isn't just from Russian.
And then the people who ask him tough questions are then killed.
Yeah, they do ask him tough, but he's been in the gig for 20 years, so there's nothing that you can say to him that will rattle him. And he's good at fending the shit off, but it's still much better for an American president to at least lay down the markers and say, you know, don't do this. And then if he does it, then you have to figure out what the hell we're going to do. I mean, if there are a bunch more cyber attacks after he's named, 15 or 16 specific kinds of targets that shouldn't be attacked, you know, water systems, financial assets, you know, the colonial pipeline, all those things. If that happens, then, you know, we have to decide what we're going to do. But, you know, we certainly don't want an escalating, not so cold cyber war of back and forth, shutting each other's electrical systems down or starving each other. You know, we can't have that, which it would be ironic if, you know, we had a cold war that involved nuclear weapons pointed at each other with mutually assured destruction. And we actually got through that without shooting any nuclear weapons at each other from the end of World War II. Right after that, Russia gets the bomb. I think they got it in 47 or 48, something like that. And it ran all the way through, and you know, whatever was done, cooler heads were prevailing. And you just wonder whether we're going to get the same cooler heads prevailing here, because in its own way, this can be just as destructive as nuclear weapons. It just, and by the way, Texas is doing a good job on itself. Okay.
Yeah. We don't need anybody help. Yeah. We don't need
they can shut down their own electricity grid without any Russian help. So
here's what's, here's the headline on, this is what foxnews.com looks like right now. This is the Supreme Court decision they want you to know about. Supreme Court has sided with Catholic foster agencies' right to exclude same-sex couples from their program, Brad. They can look at a gay couple and go, no, you may not adopt this child. And thank God that decision came down. That's the one that the folks at Fox News want you to know about. Very important stuff.
You know, that was a non-surprising decision, and it was 9-0, okay?
Yeah.
So this isn't a you know, liberal-conservative split. And I think the interesting part of it, I think I'm right about this, they haven't even had any actual cases where the Catholic Church had to say no to a gay or lesbian couple. You know,
but so it could happen.
It's a theoretical case.
It might happen.
So, okay.
Just in case those damn gays want to start adopting babies. Yeah. We can't let that
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. Because, you know, in general, the Catholic charities do, you know, they really do great work.
I agree.
You can kind of separate the Catholic charities out from the shit that the Catholic Church seems to sanction or has sanctioned for apparently hundreds of years.
Hey, was Schimbeckler Catholic? Does anybody check on that or not? I just want to take a look real quick. You know, if he
wasn't, he should have been.
I'm sorry. It's not funny.
God damn it, he should have been.
I apologize.
It doesn't sound Schimbeckler. That doesn't sound very Catholic to me.
I don't know. And this, I just learned at the FoxNews.com. This makes me kind of sad. One of the stars of one of my favorite shows when I was a child, Frank Bonner, who played the immortal Herb Tarlick on WKRP in Cincinnati, is dead. The man who made white belts fashionable, Brad.
I thought he was been dead for a while.
Fox just got around to finding it out. They just think he just died. He was fantastic. Yeah, he was, according to TMZ, passed away peacefully Wednesday with Lewy body dementia, which sounds dreadful, and I feel awful for his family. A wonderfully smarmy salesman. He had many great episodes on there where he was spotlighted. Him and his wife, Lucille. You remember Lucille? His dreadful wife? She was just the worst. They had an episode on there where Peter Marshall hosted this kind of reality TV thing where they took a look behind the Tarlick's marriage. And it's one of the funniest things you will ever see in your entire life. So very sad to hear that Herbert R. Tarlick Jr. is no longer with us. By the way, his father on that show was portrayed by the great Burt Parks. Burt Parks played Herbert R. Tarlick Sr. on that show.
Will he be buried in one of those fantastic sport coats that he used to wear?
One of the great sport coats with the white belt and the perfect teeth.
Yeah.
Any other closing thoughts that you might have on the trip over to Russia or anything else that happened this week as we look through?
No, I don't care anymore. So
I don't care anymore either.
And by the way, I was right. I was correct.
Okay.
The more important press conference yesterday was held by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell.
Well, yeah, we can get into that.
By Putin, and that will affect me more than what those two guys said. So
the takeaway from the Powell press conference, from what I've heard, and because I didn't listen to it directly, but I've read several reports, they think inflation is going to continue to be a problem this year. It's going to slow down next year. It looks like the interest rates are going to stay really low for at least the next couple of years. Did I get that right? Is that essentially the takeaway?
Yes. Everything is correct about what you said, unless it isn't.
But see,
everything is subject to change, but to be fair, all right, I'm going to be really, really fair here. So far, the best appointment that Donald Trump made while he was president was Jay Powell to be the Federal Reserve Chairman. Well, it's not even close.
But he bitched about it constantly and threatened him to fire him every other hour.
Britt, that's proof that the guy was good.
Oh, I have no question
about it.
I know. If Donald Trump doesn't like you and thinks you're doing a shitty job, you're probably pretty good at what you do. That's true.
Absolutely.
I give you that.
Absolutely.
I give you all that.
No. And it's true. And because remember, this is an appointment that is divorced after it occurs from political pressure. And Powell, every time Trump would open his fat mouth, Powell made it very clear that Trump should shut the fuck up. It's not his gig. It's not what it's all about.
Right.
He's not a politician. Jerome Powell's not a politician. He's not, he hasn't changed his point of view now because there's a different president there. He didn't change his point of view because the president in place now is not the guy who appointed him.
Right.
Although it'll be Biden's job to reappoint him, I think, next year, if he chooses to. And there's no reason to think that Biden would not reappoint.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, the guy's survived hell. I mean, for God's sake.
Well, it's not about surviving hell. It's that he has essentially made the right call just about all the way through. And the decision, whether you like it or not, to keep interest rates really, really low, to keep the economy from collapsing into a puddle of mud.
Mm-hmm.
A byproduct of which was, to boost prices of securities and stocks and the like. That's turned out so far to be the correct call, and continues to be correct until it's not.
Well,
until it all goes to shit in 1 hour. I understand that, but so far, he's the one that said that we've got deflation in this country. we've got deflation, and we can keep interest rates low because of that indefinitely. And that was before the pandemic. And then things change. And you know what? He's still at one level sticking to the, even though there's a lot of inflation, there's still, I think, this is my opinion, there's still an embedded deflationary bias to technology that is still so strong.
Yeah.
It makes everything so much more efficient.
In general, I agree. That's true.
And you can't quantify that numerically.
As an economy, you do need people over the next couple of years to buy houses. You do need people to try to start businesses. So that's another reason to keep interest rates low, to borrow money to do that stuff. You need people who are going to be risk takers and do things.
He has said, and think about this, he's the first guy in your lifetime or mine that, even at a moment like this, he is saying his priority is to get people back to work, to get the unemployment rate back down.
Right.
And you've never had a Federal Reserve person going back, as long as I can remember, know who they are, who would say that, because most of them right now in this position would be saying, we are very, very concerned about inflation. And if inflation runs a little hot, then there won't be any jobs. So we're going to raise interest rates today to head that off. That was the conventional wisdom.
That was a knee jerk. Yeah.
Powell himself made that mistake a couple years ago, and he pulled it back. He reined it back in, and he said, I'm not going to make the same mistake twice.
Right.
And we'll see. You know what? He could be wrong. Obviously, nobody knows anything. We know that.
But if you're able to be effective at that job with the worst president ever cock-blocking you six ways till Sunday, of course. I mean, Joe Biden would be an idiot to say, nah, we're going to try to look for somebody else. I mean, he's effective at what he does. He's very good at what he does. And he, through the worst of circumstances and through having Donald Trump trying to, you know, bitch slap him all the time, he was able to be effective. So, I mean, he's not going to get a lot of credit. He's one of the heroes of this whole situation, for sure. I know the economy isn't what it should be, and there are a lot of people that are still out of work, but he kind of held the center through this entire thing. He should be giving some credit for that, I think.
Oh, he's getting credit. He's getting credit. But you know, at some point, everything does change. But we don't know when that is. We don't know when things are going to turn. We don't know when people are going to stop buying homes. We don't know when they're going to start making a lot of cars again, and then there'll be too many cars, and the price of cars will drop back down a little bit, and the car dealers will be dealing again. Right now, they don't have to deal because they don't have enough cars to sell. We never know when those moments are actually going to happen out in the future. So you do the best you can, and I'm okay. I'm okay with what he's done in that particular area. But then, as you know, I'm part of the ruling investor class, and I cannot identify with a normal human people.
You coastal elite son of a bitch.
Right, I'm a coastal elite, right. I'm a coupon clipper, right, yeah. Anything else here? I dare not bring up, I don't know if you saw it, I only saw it on the media. The fucking Madison Cawthorn story.
Oh God! Did you see this? No, I haven't seen what he's done lately.
Oh my God!
This is the representative from Western North Carolina. He has the spot that Mark Meadows used to have.
Yeah.
Madison Cawthorn says, go ahead."
Here's his reasoning as to why Americans armed with guns would be able to topple a tyrannical government. He said, the Second Amendment is not written for sporting. The Second Amendment is so that if a tyrannical government ever wants to rise up, we can stop them. And if anybody ever wants to say, oh, well, you know what, citizens with a few small arms fire would never be able to stop the federal government, I absolutely disagree. This is Cawthorn speaking. Ask the Viet Cong how they handled the Marines and the Army in Vietnam. Full stop. Okay. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that you can say about the Vietnam War.
Okay.
There are a lot of things that were done wrong, bad decisions. One of them was not that the United States Marines sucked. And the Viet Cong beat them because they sucked. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There were 1,001 political reasons why we lost that war, why we couldn't win it. But to try to make the leap from the year 2021 in Washington, D.C., the federal government, the U.S. Capitol, and a bunch of whack jobs, and equate the U.S. Capitol Police to the United States Marines, who would be overcome by a bunch of people who think that Donald Trump had the election stolen from him and therefore were attacking the Congress, trying to stop it from fulfilling the Electoral College duties as spelled out in the Constitution, that those are the Viet Cong of this story? Or do I have this matched up right, the way he's trying to do this?
Sounds like
it. They're the insurgents. They're the Viet Cong. Okay? So we know the Viet Cong ended up winning the war, driving the Americans to pull out, and we kind of lost the war. We actually did lose the war. So that makes Donald Trump Ho Chi Minh. Okay? That would make Donald Trump the Ho Chi Minh of this story. And Madison, what can you say? Just shut up.
He's on the side of the communists.
Whose side are you on? Yes, yeah. Whose side are you on?
He's on the side of the communists, and Fox News apparently loves Vladimir Putin. So, yeah, again, it seems slightly un-American to me, but again, I'm a coastal elite bastard too, and I went to a college and stuff. Yeah, so
you know what? I think you may have accidentally stumbled upon a solution for Fox. You know, that 7 o'clock show has not been decided yet. Who's going to do that 7 o'clock show? I think just give it to Putin. Just make it to Putin now. You know, they can do a simulcast.
Oh, wait. I got to give the old Rush Limbaugh line. He can't take the pay cut.
Yeah. Right.
BradandBrit.com.